Welcome back, everybody. Cairo Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler and Sting.
I don't drink coffee, I take tea, my dear. I like my toast.
It's nothing like the sun, right? This album's the sun. It's not Blue Turtles.
Well, I'm playing it from a compilation, so offhand.
It's nothing like the sun. I do, yeah. It's funny, we're talking about tickets today. I was talking to Bob and Joe on the podcast. And we're talking about how do you fix the ticket problem? You know, we did this last week. We talked all about Taylor Swift and how she melted Ticketmaster to the ground. And how of the 1.5 million pre-sale fan club members, Swifties, registered Swifties, that were expected on the national pre-sale announcement moment for Taylor Swift's upcoming 52-city U.S. stadium tour. 14 million people, I'll use air quotes here, wish you folks at home could see that, tried to obtain tickets. And that's including what they assume to be a boatload of bots, computer programs designated to mine online ticket sales for tickets and snap them up for later resale. I said, Bob said he read that like almost like 14 billion or something. Or I'm sorry, 1.4 billion hits were on the website, people trying repeatedly to get tickets to the concerts. And we talked a little about how the Springsteen concerts that were announced couple months ago had kind of the same issue with folks getting pushed off the system not being able to take the load of demand. Dynamic pricing coming into effect. Taylor Swift tickets are all for sale now on the aftermarket because the general public sale was canceled, yada, yada. They're going for thousands of dollars for premier seats and hundreds of dollars for crud seats. And Joe was talking about how he would just always wait for the aftermarket tickets. If you really want to go to a show and you're willing to risk missing it, you can get those last-minute tickets, people speculating on resale and trying to make a nice profit. The day the show comes around, they're willing to not take a loss and accept much, much, much less, even take less than face value for a ticket because it beats a blank. Joe's determined that if he wants to see a show real bad and he can't afford to go, he'll just wait till the day of the show, especially in these days of digital tickets when transfers are immediate. You don't have to want somebody mailing to you. You can have them on your phone and walk in. And I remembered a story about Joe and I. We went to see the Police, Sting and the Police, Stuart and Andy, when they did their reunion tour. They played over at the Gorge in Eastern Washington, the Gorge Amphitheater. And Joe and I each had lawn tickets up on the grass to see this concert. And day of the show, a pair of tickets like in the second row opened up for like a couple hundred bucks each. And I called Joe up in the morning and said, hey, man, let's snap these up. You know, when are we ever going to get to see them? This is it. This is the last time. They don't like each other. They actually physically hate each other. And this will be the last time they ever play together. Let's see it from up front. She goes, that sounds great. I said, okay, I'll buy both and you can pay me back. He said, no. You buy one. You buy one of those two tickets. And then the other one will go unsold. And I'll just sit there for free with my lawn ticket. I'm like, you clever bastard. And it worked. I bought the one for a couple hundred bucks over, you know, more than twice face value. But the other one went unsold. So when Joe came down in the middle of the show, no one was going to kick him out of that seat. It was brilliant. But we were talking about how do you cure this ticket issue we find ourselves in. And the problem is twofold. Problem isn't just that Ticketmaster isn't able to take the demand from online ticket sales that are literally anywhere in the world. People can log in from any computer anywhere and try to buy tickets in any show. I think you have to pick what show you'd like to buy tickets for in regard to at least the Taylor Swift fiasco of 2022. Of the 52 shows that were, you know, scheduled to go on sale all at the same time for pre-sale and the canceled public sale last Friday, you had to pick a venue you wanted to see. And you try repeatedly to kick in. You tried, Bob said he tried for 30, 40, 50 minutes an hour. And the people in front of him, there were 10,000 in front of him in the queue, 8,000, 7, 5, 1,000, 700, 800, 60, 12, two, one. You get in because there was like nothing left but, you know, nosebleed seats. And they were going for ridiculous amounts of money. So he ended up not getting tickets. How do you, the problem is twofold. The problem is everyone over the planet has access to these tickets. But the real problem is the price of seeing a show. And the secondary market has exacerbated that price. Used to be an artist put a price on a ticket and you bought those tickets for the price they were asking, and that was what it was. Even if they were expensive, that you knew what it was going to be. But when tickets go on the aftermarket and you're bidding them up, whether it's through dynamic pricing initially or what speculators think they can get, people are paying thousands of dollars to see a concert, for a single seat at a concert. So how do we reel this back in? Who can afford to go to shows anymore? Bob was bemoaning the fact that he, as a grandfather, wanted to take his two little granddaughters to see Taylor Swift to make their little dreams come true. But, you know, to spend thousands of dollars to take your kid to a concert, we talked about this last week. And there were tickets for Taylor Swift in the front row or whatever, those premium seats that somebody really speculated they could get $20,000 plus a seat for a concert ticket. And that's just crazy.
You know, at this point, you have to wonder, maybe Elon Musk is sitting back there going, you know, instead of spending this all this billions of dollars on Twitter, I could have fixed ticketing and people would have loved me for fixing the ticketing system.
You know, maybe he will. I mean, the guy is the richest man in the world. If he declares bankruptcy with Twitter, which may happen.
Maybe he'll move on to this new challenge. People will adore him for it. All the Swifties will become Elon fans.
And maybe he will. I mean, the guy's an innovator. He's good at some things. He's obviously not good at Twitter, but who knows how it's going to play out. But he's got plenty more money. Why doesn't he buy a football team he loves that this sucks and just, you know, he'd buy the Washington Commanders or something.
Ryan Reynolds and one of the guys from Always Sunny in Philadelphia bought that rugby team in the UK.
Well, is it rugby or is it football?
Or is it a football? I don't remember.
I don't know if it's I don't know if it's rugby or soccer.
I saw something about that.
And they're filming it, right? They're making like a reality show out of it.
Yeah, like there's some documentary TV show kind of come out of that.
And the people over there love them. Love the whole scenario of a couple of swells with too much more dollars than cents investing in their club. Maybe, you know, improving the facilities, getting hot water in the showers or, you know, a laundry facility in the locker room, whatever it takes. I think it's fantastic. You know, if you've got all the money in the world, the Twitter thing really is kind of a weird. I don't know what his thoughts are on this. Elon Musk, that is. I don't know what.
It would just be nice if some genius, just picking on Elon because he's top of the headlines. No. It would be nice if some genius were to come along and reform this system.
The Ticketmaster system? Yeah. Well, you know, it'd be nice if the guardrails and guidelines in the industry were adhered to. You know, Ticketmaster bought Live Nation. Was it last year or a year before? The two biggest, hogs at the trough of live performances, live events. And the fact that they were allowed to merge and become one, there was worry about just this happening. You know, the infrastructure not being around, the capacity to deal with this kind of ticket demand wouldn't be in place and people would get screwed. And they would charge exorbitant fees because there was the only game in town. Somebody pointed out in the text last week when we were talking about Taylor Swift that they own the venues as well. Live Nation owns all these venues. And if you know, why can't the artist not deal with Ticketmaster? There are other ticketing, you know, facilities or mechanisms, companies in place. Why can't Axe deal with people other than Ticketmaster? If they can't get the job done and they charge too much to do the job, why are people still working with them? Well, because in a lot of places, they're the only game in town. They've got exclusive access to the venues these performers want their fans to see their shows in. So if they had, and when Ticketmaster and Live Nation merged, there was restrictions and demands put on them to meet customer need, to operate with transparency, to not, you know, exploit their monopoly in the industry, their powerful position in the industry, and take advantage of customers. And they ignored those guidelines. They ignored those restrictions and those parameters. And so people just got burned. And, you know, maybe Taylor Swift will be the artist that can fix Ticketmaster. Pearl Jam tried, remember?
You ever notice, though, in this country, it seems like we tend to tolerate monopolies until we don't. Like, things have to build to a very big, bad level or to have some pop culture impact like this before people start to care about all of the monopolies and consolidation that we've allowed for decades.
We do, and in large part, that's due to the influence those monopolies carry. I mean, look at oil. You know, there are, what, three oil companies now? Maybe five total, basically, in the world. And they've got a monopoly on the industry, and they control the pricing. And they're making record profits this year. And the reason that we can't intercede from a consumer protection perspective is because they own half of Washington, D.C. Because their employees, our elected officials, our elected representatives, who are more beholden to the donors that get them reelected than they are beholden to us, the people who voted them into office. That's why nothing happens there. So monopolies, you know, it only changes when it becomes so big of a problem, unless that problem is so big it's making the rules. It's the ones who are supposed to be the guardians of these industries. And they're in the hip pocket of the industries themselves. You know, and to swing it back around, how I can blame anything on Donald Trump in Six Moves or Less. No, and I'm kidding. But, you know, when we talk about impeachment, for example, of the former president and maybe the current president, if the threats being made, the promises being made for investigation and accountability by a Republican Congress on President Biden, his son, and any entanglements, business improprieties that may be involved with those too. This commitment to transparency and accountability has been made. To impeach an elected official takes bipartisan cooperation and agreement. You can't impeach a president along party lines unless you've got a massive majority in Congress. And it seems like we'll never have that again. We're so divided. So essentially what you're asking to do is to have those people who may be implicit or involved in the indiscretions be on the jury. That's what happened with President Trump. You know, Congress members who voted against impeaching President Trump have been implicated in some of the discrepancies President Trump was accused of. How can you have those who are suspected of being involved in the crime or confirmed to be involved in the crime be the ones on the jury? That makes no sense. That's one of the reasons this special prosecutor was, I think, a good idea for President Trump. And typical Trump fashion, and I don't mean to pick on the president, but, you know, sometimes it's just too damn easy. You know? So this Jack Smith, special prosecutor, who's prosecuted mob bosses, he's prosecuted war criminals, the guy knows his game, he's been picked to be the special prosecutor to oversee the multiple investigations into the former president. And hopefully, you can hope that a special prosecutor is above political partisanship. That's the goal of a special prosecutor, independent. Well, Trump, in complete Trump fashion, you know, attacked the guy's wife on social media today. You know, talked about how she produced a film about Michelle Obama for Netflix or some such. The details were so comedically, typically, ironically Trump, but I didn't bother to get all the details.
Be best, Donald. Be best.
I mean, if somebody's about to, you know, give you a colonoscopy, don't insult him. You know, I mean, seriously, you know, here's a guy that's in charge of finding out whether or not you should be indicted for crimes. So the first thing you do is insult his wife? You're not the brightest bulb on Broadway.
Well, it's certain one Ted Cruz is fealty.
Wow.
It's sometimes you're just like, dude, do you know how the game, I mean, you know how the game works? Sometimes it's just like, wow, buddy, was that a wise move? I don't know. And we're talking about tickets and Ticketmaster. You know, one of the reasons I brought it up is how do you fix this problem of ticket prices? There are artists who sell tickets only to those people who will attend the show. You know, if you're lucky enough to get a ticket to a show, you are tied to a credit card with an ID, and that is who gets in the show. It can't be resold. Is that the answer? True fans would go. You know, there's benefit to secondary markets. You know, if you didn't get in to the initial sale and you really, really want to go and you're willing to pay anything, that's what secondary markets are there for. And there's a benefit to that. But it's gotten out of hand. It's gotten to the point where no one can afford to see anybody anymore. And maybe the solution is to, Joe said, hey, remember we used to have to sleep on a sidewalk? Go to a ticket distributor and get your four tickets and that was it. No bots, no aftermarket, you know, $3,000 to see a concert. I don't care if it's the Stones or Taylor Swift. You know, Mel Torme. I just feel for all the folks who spent hours and hours trying to get tickets and didn't. Feel bad for Taylor Swift. That's which is a hard thing to do because she's got it all. Joe was saying to Bob, you know, so many stations are giving away tickets. You'll get tickets. Stations got, even though tickets were unavailable and they sold out so quickly, and stations all get tickets because promoters, you know, they want to make sure Taylor Swift's name is still mentioned after ticket sales. And radio stations who play Taylor Swift want to give people reasons to keep listening to the station. You know, sleep with one of Taylor Swift's former boyfriends, show us a tape, and win tickets. That's the ultimate Taylor Swift contest. It's got run ends. I'm sorry. We'll be right back after these, folks. Thanks for hanging in there. Version of Ricky Don't Lose That Number is this. Yet no.
This is the song that they borrowed part of that melody from.
Nice.
It's a song from my father, from Boris Silver.
You are the bomb, dude. Yeah, horrific news out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. More shootings. And, you know, it's tough to keep an audience happy, Matt. No matter what we talk about, somebody wants to do something different. I get it.
You can please some of the people some of the time.
Right. And you can fool a lot of the people most of the time. Or you can just do what you want to do and let them get their own damn show all the time. Right? Am I right?
There's also that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It works for us.
You know, It's the holiday week. We got a few more minutes here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. And then, of course, Thanksgiving. Hits us like a ton of lead. And ushers in the season of love, thankfulness, commerce, shopping, stress, deadlines, Christmas lists, the whole bit. Hanukkah for my friends. Kwanzaa, I guess. I don't know much about the event, but I respect that some of you hold it dear. If you have been lucky enough to be invited somewhere on Thanksgiving to join a family or friends for dinner, there are some do's and don'ts about Thanksgiving dinner etiquette that you should know about, and maybe it's not too late.
Let me guess. Yes. One of the ways you can build bonds and bring your family closer together and celebrate the warmth of the holidays is to start off with, how about that Donald Trump?
How about that Biden? Great president or greatest president? Yeah. Yeah. Half the table says Trump 24. The other half says Trump 10 to 20. You know, it's... that's one of the things mentioned in this little etiquette report. And this is from an author named Carolyn Bologna. And it's actually some really good tips in here on how to make it as pleasant a gathering and the spirit of it's intended to have. Make sure that happens for you. Because it's tough to get together these days. We're all so divided. I've got family members. I can't talk politics with them. I just can't. We'll never see eye to eye, but I love and respect them. And the day is not supposed to be about making somebody see your point of view. Anyway, let's start at the top. If you've been invited somewhere, you should have already told them whether you were coming or not. Right? I mean, it's Tuesday now. Thanksgiving's a day and a half away. If you've been invited and you're planning on going and you haven't told them, how will they know how much to prepare? Right? You're supposed to RSVP, I think, a couple weeks at the minimum before you, if you've accepted an invitation to go to somebody's house for dinner, so that they'll know. Okay, but if it's too late to even worry about that, call them now or text them. Say, hey, I hadn't confirmed. I apologize. That was rude. I am coming. Do you need me to bring anything? Right? Another thing you can avoid to not seem inconsiderate is don't ignore the schedule. If they say, hey, you know, we're going to get together about noon, dinner's at 2, dinner's at 3, whatever, get together at 2, dinner's at 5, whatever it is, just respect their schedule. They've given you a schedule for a reason. They've got plans. They're getting ready. They're probably cooking, you know. You can show up a little bit late. We all do. Let them know if you're running late, but don't show up early unless you're planning to help. Show up early with an apron on. How can I help? That's never bad, but try to stick to the schedule. It's respectful.
Oh, I don't know. Some people don't want you in the kitchen.
I don't. Next tip, don't ever bring a dish that requires cooking. You say, what can I bring? Okay, that's great, but if you bring something that says, well, I just need to get in your kitchen for a few minutes, well, good luck. It's a jungle in there. It's a zoo. There's no open burners. There's no space in the oven. What are you thinking? A cutting board and a blade? Sure, okay, you got to do that out back, whatever. But if you're going to prep something that's your specialty and you volunteered to bring it, you know, of course it may need to be heated up, of course. And there's probably plans for that with your host. Just coordinate ahead of time. Let them know. Communication's the key. And here's the deal breaker. Starting tense conversations. Don't bring up politics. Don't bring up religion. You know? On the heels of that, don't pry into people's personal business. Hey, did you guys ever get that adultery thing put behind you? Pass the mashed potatoes. Good Lord. You're going to be wearing the mashed potatoes, dude. What are you thinking? Come on. Hey, man, your secretary. Weren't you guys like, you know, didn't I see you and your secretary at Leavenworth? What, did you have business out there? Dude, you want to get a fork in the eye? Don't do that. Come on. Don't have more.
Also, questions about family planning. When y'all gonna have kids?
Right,
Come on,
you know,
not
you're
a good one.
Well, your folks, God, I don't know how many more years your parents have. They'd like to have a little grandkid. Sure, they'd love to have a grandkid, but if you've got something against parenthood, oh my God, I'm gonna wreck the day. You ever see a movie called Home for the Holidays?
Yes, I have.
Holly Hunter, Robert Downey Jr. And that guy always, is that Dermot Mulroney? Who is that? The other guy. I can never remember his name. But Charles Durning and Anne Bancroft. It's a family that comes together. And it is classic. It is a classic What the Hell Can Go Wrong at Thanksgiving Dinner movie. Fantastic. One of the few Christmas or a few Thanksgiving movies out there that really does stand the test of time. It says not to assert yourself in the kitchen without being asked. Don't come in. Don't come in and say, hey, man, you know, you're doing this wrong. Let me show you how they should do this. Oh, dude, unless you want it to be the last time you're invited over, don't do that.
Well, in fairness, if you really don't like these people and you don't want to be invited over but feel obligated to come, do the opposite of everything in this article.
Write down
and
what
never
we say.
Yeah, back.
Write down what we say and just go the other way. Sure. It's a how to get out of this nightmare next year story. That's what it is. Matt, good call. If you've got like allergies or dietary restrictions, don't bring it up at the table. Let them know ahead of time. I'm sure they'll be happy to accommodate if they can. Right. Or if you have to bring something, you say, hey, look, I've got a nut allergy. I've got, you know, the last thing a host wants to do is beg for an EpiPen or you know, open your throat up with a pocket knife and put a straw in so you can breathe because they gave you nuts and some pie you didn't realize was they were allergic to. Nobody wants to go through that. Ruins. That's a great story next year, though. Remember when we had to open you up like they did on MASH and stick a big pan in your throat so you didn't die? God, that's the holidays. That's Thanksgiving. One way that you can have a better day is to don't just talk to the people that you know or the people that you like. You know, get out there and socialize a little bit.
If I only talked to the people that I liked, it would be such a short list. I'd have nobody to talk to.
You'd have a TV tray in the corner.
Exactly.
And talking to yourself.
It's a hard knock life, my friend.
Real quick, don't show up empty-handed. Bring a bottle of wine, something, you know. Don't assume you can take home leftovers. A good host will always prepare a little something-something. You know, we've got the kids coming over this year for my daughter's school. I invested in some of that send-away Glad Tupperware-type containers, you know. Everybody gets a little something-something for the next couple days. And, you know, when it's time to go, it's time to go. Don't hang out too long. If people start snoring, there's your sign. Hit the bricks. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. Here's your turkey. Hit the bricks. Oh, and I forgot one. Oh, don't just show up with a plus one. Don't assume that bringing a plus one is going to be okay. I'm sure it may be, may very well be. But, you know, it could be uncomfortable. No place to sit them. People take great pride and put a lot of effort and pull a lot of hair out trying to figure out where to put people, where to place people. It's like a damn UN meeting sometimes. You know, you can't put this one next to that when they hate each other. This one just blah, 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 blah. Let them know if you're bringing a plus one ahead of time. Anyway, the most important thing is remember why we're here. You know, to take joy in each other's company, to remember the things you love about the people in your life. So happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back right after these. We'll read your texts. And we're back again tomorrow in case you missed this list. Maybe we'll run this list again by earlier in the show tomorrow. Because some of this stuff really can make or break your night, folks. Trust me on this. It's Kyra Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back. By the way, that movie, Home for the Holidays, was filmed in my neighborhood in Baltimore. That Chesterfield Avenue where the house is on. I had a friend live about six doors down from that house. But a texter pointed out, and I want to first off thank all you guys for texting into the show tonight, 888-973-5476. We do it every night. We always appreciate your input. Planes, trains, and automobiles. How could I bring up holiday movies, Thanksgiving movies, without planes, trains, and automobiles? John Candy and Steve Martin. And there's an hour of additional deleted footage in a version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles that's out this holiday season. That'd be cool. Yeah, man. Let's see where we start tonight. A little on the lighter side than we did last night. Yeah, man. Talked about tides and the sack of water. That was pretty cool. That the moon has a lot more to do with the tides and the sack of water.
And we learned the origins of the phrase happy as a clam.
Yes. Clams are happiest at high tide when they are able to feed and not be food. I think we can all appreciate that's a good thing, right? Once somebody said, you know, I'm a nightly listener and sometimes I throw shade, but I'm still here every night. And I said, that's exactly how we want it, man. Thank you very much. We appreciate you here. Even when you're throwing shade, I'm thankful for you guys in the Kyra Night Show. I learn something new each and every night. I tune in. Thank you. From the 541. Wow, thank you.
That is my good friend, Bethany. Very loyal listener.
Nice. Oh, thank
you.
Down
in Medford, Oregon.
That's awesome. Thank her for me. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, met you 4 years ago at the North Bend Music Festival 2017. Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for being here tonight. Oh, a long email. Let me read that one and get back to you. I appreciate that so much. That's Robin. And I will get back to you, Robin. It's just too much stuff for me to, no one else will get on. If I read that right now, huh? Someone says, do you think a fairy people would hire a 70-plus multiple strokes and heart attack person? I still look good in a peacoat. I'm thinking the way the fairies are canceling runs without staff. Couldn't hurt. Give them a call. I'm sure folks in that, with the kind of physical track record, still have something to offer. I know you do. I don't mean to laugh. I'm not laughing at you. I'm thinking about myself with multiple heart issues. You know, I can't run up a set of stairs, but I can do this. Now, what was this one? I apologize, everybody. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here with this one. Oh, we talked about lights, cameras, action, school zones, traffic cameras. The guy that passed you says, you know, I wasn't driving when the automated traffic light gave me a ticket for speeding in a school zone.
Also known as the Shaggy defense. It wasn't me.
Zoinks? Oh, a different Shaggy. Sorry. Actually, they'll ask you to throw someone under the bus. I've tried that before years and years ago. They'll say, fine, tell us who was driving your vehicle and we'll send them the ticket, but the car is registered to you. And if you don't want to pay that, then you need to give us some. We want blood, yours or somebody else's. a lot of people thanking you for the musical choices tonight, Matt. Seriously, man. Young teenagers, and if you're an adult, you know that when you're a teenager, you're the most influenceable, the most confused. And then we're talking about the people calling in fake shootings to different schools today. Yet we are allowing them to make decisions on chart and changing their life forever. It's no wonder suicides are up. That's true, man. Wouldn't mind a Tulsi Gabbard or whoever for vice presidential ticket.
All righty then.
Yeah, this texter also said that he's going to be DeSantis and Gavin Newsom. At which point, no one seems to want Biden, Trump, too.
I'm so scared what's going to happen with Newsom, though, is he's going to go the Beto route. Blow his chance and the legacy's going to be blown. You gotta strike at the right time.
You do. And I wrote back, Biden's aging like a banana in the sun, so something's got to change. As far as Thanksgiving etiquette, texter said, hey, man, too many rules. I'm staying home. No. Come on. Just be a good member of the group. That's all. Thanks so much for your time tonight, folks. We really appreciate it. We love having you along. Matt, thank you. Thanks for letting me air out my points of view. Thanks for keeping the music. You're a mood driver, my friend. I appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow night, folks, one more time before the holiday hits. We'll talk to you later.